Dearly God, we thank you for giving us all that we could ask, think, or imagine. And God, we've come again as a demonstration and as an outward display that we love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all of our strength. And it is our prayer again that, Lord, you would show us the more excellent way. We pray, God, again that you would open our eyes and our ears and make our hearts to be fertile ground. We pray, God, that what we learn, we live. And Lord, as we live, we lead, that others would come to know you. As we have been, Lord, spending our time investigating and investing in the Great Commission, we pray, God, that we will always remember that we are to be about our Father's business. For Lord, when we stay focused on you, our faith will be rewarded and our future is brighter. We pray, God, that you would help us to develop what we have termed recently spiritual competence. And Lord, people will trust that we know who we are talking about, what we are doing, what we are saying, where we are going, and why we are going. We pray, God, that you would bless these who are with us, and those who share with us over our outreach ministry opportunity. We pray, God, that even those who are far will find themselves in a place where they can be comfortable and that they can give you the time necessary, and all other distractions would be set aside. We can focus intently on you. Even the writer declared, I will look to the hills from which cometh my help, knowing that my help comes from the Lord. Lord, you made everything, you know everything, and you do all things so well. And so, God, again, our prayer is certainly that your will be done. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins and for every mercy and every grace, for we recognize that without those we would not be here. And since we are here, and while we are here, we will do a great thing to your glory. Father, we ask again that you would send one, just one, Lord, that we might continue our labor, knowing that our labor in the Lord is certainly not in vain. And Lord, we will keep the promise that we made, and we will serve you until we die. God bless now, we pray. And again, we ask for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. Take a moment. I hope you got the list we're trying to keep up with. We're trying to increase your prayer life by giving you things to pray about and to learn about. Amen. So we have two copies. If you don't have both of them, again, we'll get Miss Braxton to fire off into extra duty without pay and make some more of them. Amen. But we're looking at, again, developing a competence. The commission yet remains. You can bring that back up once again, Matthew 28. The commission yet remains. And this is as I said a few weeks ago, I'm trying to tie all of it together so we can have one focal point as we're cultivating the character of the post-Calvary church. Coming out of Calvary, we ought to be something different. That's really what the Lord was doing. I mean, everything, if you read your Bible very carefully, and if you follow the master blueprint, everything Jesus did from the time he came to the earth was to shape them up so that after Calvary, they could do it. Nobody had ever done that before. You know, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, all the religious leaders, all of the Old Testament prophets, they pointed toward Christ. But they didn't know what the mission was really going to be. They knew that he was coming. And they said, when he comes, something's going to change. And I want to say to you, beloved of God, as Christians, and I pray I'm talking to Christians, that as Christians, you ought to want something in your life to be different since you met Jesus. Not just that he gave you a car or a house or a job. He said, I know you need that stuff. And listen, everybody needs a job, whether you're a Christian or not. Amen. Everybody needs food. He said, your Father knows you have needed those things. But since we are Christians, something in our life ought to be cultivated differently. The way we walk, the way we come in, the way we go out, we ought to have a different understanding, a different undertaking of our assignment. You know, the hands that were once idle shouldn't be idle anymore. Our language should change. All of those things are critically important. And if we don't see those things, we have a right to say something's wrong here. Amen. If you wake up in the morning and you notice a knot on your arm or a rash, you get in closer. You don't go, oh, there ain't nothing. You know, so, I mean, you investigate. And we as believers and beloved of God, we ought to be looking not only at ourselves, but at each other. Amen. When they sat at that table and the Lord put together the supper, they said, is it I? Is it? They were looking at each other. And we ought to be loving enough to look. How many of you have ever had something happen and say to somebody, can you look at that for me? You know, stuff you can't see. Or maybe, how many of you ever asked somebody, much like Jesus said, who do men say that I am? You ought to want to know what people think about you. And I told you before, and I'm going to tell you again, don't you ever think you can live in this world and not care what people think about you. Amen. If you watch the hearings on Thursday, you were probably shocked just like myself. You know, and a lot of that is about character. When you have the former FBI director sitting on national TV and they say more folk watch as much as the Super Bowl and saying the president is a liar, what confidence can we have? And then look at the events that are leading up, and of course there's always a tit and a tat, but the reality for us as Christians is our credibility is going to either help the kingdom grow or hinder the kingdom. And we've all probably heard, because we're all adults here, we've all probably heard people say, that's why I don't go to church, because church folk do this. We ought not let that be us. There are good doctors and they're not so good doctors. I don't want to say no bad doctors, but there are great pilots and they're so-so pilots. One of my favorite TV shows is Air Disasters. And, you know, they have these things that have happened with airplanes and all of it relies on, a lot of it at least, comes down to can the pilot rise above the circumstances? They had one on recently, and I know Melvin likes air stuff too, but there was recently one of the A380, the hugest airplane in the world, brand new airplane, flying out of Singapore, and they had a malfunction on engine 2. And they showed it, and just happened on that particular flight, they were doing what they call a check flight, where they had two extra pilots observing the pilots and making sure. And so they had a team. And when this engine went out, 5 minutes into the flight, it showed how all of them rose above the circumstance. They did what they had to do. And one of the scenarios showed that the computer kept showing all these fault codes coming one, and that's not supposed to happen, but the guy just kept working. Then the other pilot turned to the check pilot guy and said, listen, I need you to do something for me. He did it. The other guy, who's a pilot, he said, listen, can you go back there and look? He could have said, man, I'm a pilot. I ain't going. He got up. He followed instructions, but all of them rose above the circumstance. They didn't say, oh, well. They didn't say, it ain't my fault. And that's like in the body of Christ. We ought to all be rising above that our credibility is good and that we can get above circumstance. Even when things go wrong, horribly wrong, we keep pressing. Amen. And to encourage each other. To look at each other and say, you know, I love you. And let me say something to you. You know, oftentimes when you got something hard to say, you got to set up with a little sugar. You got to say, you know, I sure love you. You and I have been, how long have we been friends? Oh, we've been through so much, but let me tell you a little something. You don't mind if I say something frankly, do you? You say, well, no, go ahead. And you know, most of them are going to take that back when it get real tight. But you got to tell them, you told me I can go ahead. And here's the reality of where we are in the body of Christ. We are not helping each other. We're not really pushing each other. If you ever want to get greater, you're going to have to do what it takes to do greater. You can't just talk about being greater. You know, there's a constant debate. Are we doing all right back there? My text ain't come up yet. Matthew 28:19, the one we've been using a little while. We have to remember, people always say, if you watched the game the other night, and you may not like sports, but, you know, the Golden State Warriors had a chance to be 16-0 and win the championship, and everybody's talking about who's going to be the greatest team of all time, and they ticked Steve Kerr off. Because a lot of old players, you know, whenever something's happening, everybody like to get a little spotlight. We're saying, we could have beat the Golden State Warriors in our day. Steve Kerr said, I don't think so. Because here's what the reality is. Greatness must be present. You can always talk about what used to be. You can talk about what might be. But if we're ever going to be the greater church, it's now. Then let them talk about what we were later. But what are they going to say about us if we stay in this condition? We have to do whatever it takes for the now sense of being greater. And that takes people who push you to be greater. If you don't practice well, you'll never play well. You'll never perform well. And our subject last week in the sermon side of this was that now that you've got this possession, where's your productivity? Just like Cain and Abel. Both of them were in the same land, same opportunity. They made different choices. Hope y'all get that. Deacon Walker is no greater than Addison Thomas. Jennifer is no greater than Jasmine. Dr. Dixon and I, no greater than you are. You know why? Because your scripture, your Bible says God is no respecter of person. God will give everybody in this room as much as anybody in this room can ask for. But he's not going to give you anything more if you haven't done anything with what you already have. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. I know I was a little late. Don't hold it against me. All of you can be greater. You got to want to be greater. And you need people around you to say, come on now. Oh, you sing beautifully. Don't be missing Sundays when I need you to sing. I don't care what your husband is saying. No, I'm just kidding. You have to say, Elizabeth, you did a great job. Just like Deacon Walker stepped up the other week. I had no idea that Deacon Walker was prepared at any time. He never, God bless him. But I understand he did a fine job. That's what I want to hear. I'm not going to sit back and go, you didn't get my permission. You didn't ask me. He said, I got this moment. And people say, oh, Pastor, you'd be amazed what Larry did. I said, well, good. I like being amazed. He doesn't have to show me everything all the time. But when it's time, he ought to show me something. And all of us ought to be like that. All of us ought to be saying, you know what? I want me a moment to show Pastor. More than anything, to show God that I got it. That his investment in me is worth it. That's what we got to do. And again, we're talking about a people, your point number one was, who are hopelessly lost. People who are hopeless need hope. They need to see something now in the church. We can't sell ourselves by saying, oh, wait, you see us 5 years from now. Because what's going to happen to us 5 years from now has a lot to do with what we're doing right now. And we're not doing 5 years from now kind of stuff. 5 years from now, we're going to still be talking about what we're going to do 5 years from now. Remember, you have this possession. Now must be productivity. Now is your season. Because you don't know the day nor the hour. None of us do. I went and picked up some shirts and drop off some shirts, dry cleaner, trying a new cleaner, Deacon Walker. The other one got on my nerve for the last time. So I'm going to new cleaners and ladies, you know, I gave them two shirts last week. See what they do, you know, Elizabeth. I gave them two shirts and I had five this time. And she said, are you dropping off? I said, no, I need to pick up first. So she said, oh, yeah. I said, yes, ma'am. So I said, I need to see how y'all did on them two before I leave these five. And so she said, oh. And so she said, well, I hope we did well. I said, well, bring them on up here, honey. And she brought them, and I lifted the bag. And she thought I was kidding. I lifted the bag and checked the consistency of the medium starch, checked my collar and my sleeves. I said, okay. Well, I guess I'll drop these five off. She said, whew, thank you. I said, now, wait a minute. Now, don't get beside yourself. I'll be back to check these five. And then she said, when would you like to pick them up? I said, well, you know, since no man knows the day nor the hour, I said, whenever they're ready, I'll just come get them. She said, oh, my, you're a Christian. She said, that's the language of the church. I said, yes, ma'am, it is. I said, is there a discount involved in that? She smiled. Yeah, you know I'm always looking for a cheap. I mean, I know how to dress it well, but I'll look for the cheap. And so my point, and she and I had a little discussion. She said, you know, I wish more people realized that. She said, the Lord can come any day. And this won't even matter, will it? I said, no, ma'am, these shirts won't mean nothing. When he cracked the sky, don't think I'm going to run by the cleaner to try to pick up no shirts. No, I said, I could care less about these shirts at that moment. And we have to live like that. Not as deadbeats and with a death mentality, return of our Lord. But when he comes, it's going to be accountability time. God's going to really look at every one of us and say, now what did you do with all that I gave you? And you can't say, well, you didn't give me nothing. Because then he'll say, well, what did you ask for? You know what the Bible says? That's right. You have not because you have. Don't sit around here being a church that can be greater and never ask God for anything. Ask him. Try him. People who are hopeless and lost need guidance. That's you. How many of you have ever been asked by a stranger, excuse me, can you tell me where thus and thus is? Or even if you're in the store, you may not work for Kroger or Walmart or Food Line, but somebody may walk in and say, you know where the peas at? You know what? And you say, oh, yeah, that's. And you say, wait a minute. And some of us might even say, well, I don't know. And we'll start walking together. That's how easy it is to make disciples. That's how easy it is. Let your light so shine. That's productivity. And we cannot allow ourselves, as the elect of God, to waste this good seed. And then complain to God that we're barren. You have to say to yourself, where's my gift? Am I doing what God called me to do? But let me tell you something. And this is, I added this note. You've got to stop asking God to do what you want and refuse to do what he wants. Make it equal. Let me give God the greater, more likely, probably the best answer. But I mean, as much as he said, I'll do this stuff for you, how can you refuse to do this for him? You can't say, oh, God, make me rich, and then don't tithe. You can't ask God to give you children and you don't give them back to him. You ask God to give you the best husband and the best wife and not want them to be Christians. Not want to share your faith and your relationship with God. You have been gifted. Remember, we talked about it last week. He said, listen, I'll give you anything. Anything. What do you want? I added this note. Let's take a moment to think about this. Take a moment, just a moment or two. And remember what you always wanted to be. Just think about that for a minute. Just remember what you always wanted to be. Now, here's the issue. For some of us, and you don't have to raise your hand, I'm not going to ask you to. It had nothing to do with God. It didn't. And you're sitting here now, and I know you're thinking, because we're in church, we're going to make it churchy. No, let's be honest. Let's just go back and realize, be honest. Think of what you wanted to be. When you were smaller and as people encouraged you along the way, I would be willing to bet you, I got a little bit of money in my pocket. I gave away a whole lot of money in leadership meeting the other day. Nobody gave none of it back. So now I don't think I'll be trying that with y'all anymore. But I'd be willing to bet you right now that not one of you ever said, I want to be a super Christian. I want to be a disciple. I bet you that. I didn't really want to be a preacher until I was about 8 years old. It was just for me. Now, I'm not saying that I was so anointed and special. It's just, I just knew early enough. That's what I wanted to be. And I never wavered from that. Of all the things I've done in my life, and my wife will tell you, and I think Pat will tell you, and Wanda, I've talked to these people about my life, no matter what I did, I always wanted to keep that in front of everything else. I always said that. No matter what, I don't care what I did. I knew I didn't want to mess it up so bad that when I became God's preacher, they would bring it up and say, ooh, him? It's what I always wanted to be. From eight now. But I'm sitting here, I'm standing here, and I'm just telling you to be honest with yourself. I'm asking you to be honest with yourself and remember what you always wanted to be. And it probably wasn't a Christian. It probably wasn't even, God bless us to say, I want to be a disciple. So now you see why this shift is so necessary. Because inasmuch as God has allowed some of you to be teachers and manufacturers and business owners and retire and serve and whatever, look where you put God when you put you first. You get everything out of order. And you know what happens when things are out of order? It's chaos. We need to make an adjustment. If you make an error, how many of you remember whiteout? If you have been in the office, whiteout. Yeah, man, that stuff was amazing. But you could always tell that somebody used whiteout. And I think Brother Thomas will probably remember this. In the military, it got to a point where you could not submit a document that had whiteout on it. You could use it as a draft, but when you sent forth the official for the record document, it had to be flawless. Because the use of whiteout could be done by anybody. So to keep there from being any shenanigans and somebody changing a word in your statement, or there could be no whiteout. Sometimes they'd be nice and let you put your initials above it. But then they discovered anybody could write your initials. Because most of us, when we write our initials, we don't write them really true to form. We just put them on there. And so the reality for us in the body of Christ, if there have not been an adjustment, if we've not really looked at verse 19 and said to ourselves, wait a minute, my focal point is wrong. I'm going all about me. I'm not doing the Great Commission. I'm not doing God first. Seek ye first the kingdom. We've said it 100 times. And I'm telling you now, children of God, just remember what you always want to be. And then be honest enough to admit that it wasn't a servant of God. Remember the three things we talked about you have to be if you're going to be a disciple. A servant, a subject, and a soldier. You didn't say that either. Some of y'all want to be an ice cream truck driver because you just like ice cream and thought, well, if I ride around that truck all day, I get free ice cream. Oh, down south where I grew up at, here's one of the famous sayings that old folks say to lazy people. You couldn't work on a pie train. Now, I've lived 56 years in Deacon Walker. I've yet to see a pie train. So that job obviously does not really exist. Might have been a train with some pies on it. But I didn't know because you can't see what's in the container. But that's what grandma, boy, you can't work on a pie train. But you know what they're saying? You just one lazy rascal. But let's be honest in the body of Christ. God has called us to something really special. You ought to be honored by that. I thought I'd get more amens. Really, all of you, God is saying, I will give you anything you ask of me. As long as you keep me first. I'll let you be a business owner. I'll let you retire. I'll let you have all the grandchildren you want. If you do me first, that's what he really said to Abraham. If you go back and look at Abraham's installation, God is saying to Abraham, Abraham, if you keep me first, I will make you the father of many nations. Your seed will multiply all over the earth. And Abraham got it. No real Bible study for him, no Christian academy. He trusted God. And he really didn't know that well. Now, he's the bugger. Y'all know God real well. But why don't you trust him? Why won't you leave some things? Why won't you just say, God, okay. The reality is, what do you got to lose? When in fact, the real answer is you got everything to gain. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. This is the best time of my life because I keep him first. And I still laugh, joke, and I have a great time, but I keep him first. You can do it too. And here's the key. If all of us do it, we're yoked together. If only this side of us do it, we're unequally yoked. If only this side of us do it, then we're separate and must come out from among each other. We will never be a harmonious church. We will never be a unity church if we're not all doing the same thing. There are different calls within this call, but you've got to want to be greater. And God has given you what you need. It's right in your hands. It's in your prayer life. It isn't how you get up in the morning. It's how you go to bed at night. Remember the old prayer they taught us when we were children? Now lay me down. We had to say it every night. That was our covering at night so we could wake up in the morning. And if I should die before I wake. So that means when I wake up now, I got another opportunity. I didn't die. How many of you ever woke up and surprised yourself? I've had some nights like that. Y'all looking at me? Eric, you with me? Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. I've had some nights. How many of you ever been scared to go to sleep? You're going to beat death by staying awake. He died with his eyes wide open. Remember that old nursing home? Old lady Donna died. How she died? She died like this. God going to get you when he gets you. Amen. But the reality for us is look at what we have. We have a God who says, I will develop you, I'll strengthen you, if you just discipline your life by being trained. Training is not just showing up to clap and dance and be on the dance team and the stomp team. And you're not trained just to perform in performance. But we're trained to perform as performers. I hope you get that. Because remember, one of our points was, now is the time to see what we do. Let your light so shine. When people see us in our capacities as ministers and deacons, just disciples, there's a spirit of excellence that's required then. And everything we do as unto the Lord. That's a spirit of excellence. If you've ever, you don't have to raise your hand. I know it still may be traumatic for you. But if you've ever been fired, you knew why. You probably saw it coming. Most people, now I've only been fired. Well, I never really got fired. My uncle used to threaten to fire. I told y'all before, that's where I learned the word terminate. He said, I'm going to terminate you. I thought that was really cool. I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get terminated. And my other uncle said, fool, you do know he's going to fire you. I said, well, whoa, I went back and negotiated. I said, wait a minute now, we family. How many of y'all have pulled a family card? Yeah. We're family. Don't look so sad, dear. It's all right. There you go. You have an opportunity in the body of Christ to do the greatest thing you'll ever do. Lift up and magnify the Lord. How many of you have ever, and you don't have to raise your hand again, and my time's going to run out, but how many of you have ever watched a worshiper and said to yourself, man, that's how I want to love God. Okay, let me make it a little less spiritual. I'll make it a little less spiritual and I'll bring it back. How many of you have ever watched another couple in a restaurant or on a date, a movie theater, or wherever, and thought to yourself, I wish my husband held my hand like that. Or I wish my wife looked at me like that. There's a commercial. It's a, I think it's a credit card. No, I can't remember. But anyway, Mark Wahlberg is in it, and he's showing different scenes of people. And there's one scene where all of these people are laying on the beach in romance. And he says something about, you know, you can be romantic. And all along the beach, all you see is people cuddled up together. I saw that commercial, Deacon McKenzie. I said to myself, I wish my wife and I could lay on the beach like that. I'm going to find me a beach. But it's so cool to see. And all of those people, you know, all of them are romantically cuddled. Some of us, you know, I mean, some of us who remember went back when love was love, think to ourselves, man, yeah, we used to do stuff like that. Let me tell you something. In the body of Christ, you don't ever have to live in used to be. You can always be and be greater. As we're getting older, we start to diminish in certain skills and stuff like that. Not in the body of Christ, we don't have to. God has approved that by calling old people, like Moses. People are old, and God said, come on. And God said, my best offerings are going to be in the fact that if you serve me till you die. Is that what y'all get? You have a God who says to you, ask me. If you're going to go out and make disciples, some equipping. Okay. Go to 1 Peter. Amen. And I'm telling you now that every one of you, every one of you, God trusts you with this. He does. He really does. Some of you may not even trust yourself with it, but God trusts you with it. He really does. I wouldn't kid you. Those of us who are in the post-Calvary church need to understand the post-Calvary requirements. We cannot be the same. Brother Thomas there and Deacon Anderson there, I think maybe one or two other former military persons know that when you leave basic training, you're not the same. You can now shoot, move, and communicate. You don't walk the same. Because we've trained you and we expect something from you. I think Deacon Anderson can tell you he just returned recently from an extended training mission. And one of the things, he sent me a text saying, Pastor, this thing is serious now. They've got stuff out here now. That's getting ready for the next thing. But when people finish that course, they're expected to be competent, right? When we leave church every Sunday, our competence level should have gone up. When we leave our Bible academies and training ministries, we should leave now expecting to go back to our units or go back home and show what we have. Now talk a new language. How many of you know a foreign language? Remember when you first learned it, you'd be speaking to people. I remember when I was in high school, you could tell everybody who was taking Spanish. In all of our lunchroom, all of down the hall, they speak in Spanish. Muy bien. And you don't know what they were saying. And muy to you too. All of the Spanish people, you know, because they're excited that they have a new language. Buenos dias. You look at them like, excuse me? In the military, we have a thing called English as a second language for those who come into the military so they can, you know, communicate. But you get excited because you have a new language. You know something that not everybody else knows. That's how you ought to feel about church. That's how you feel about your notes. When you leave, you ought to go let folks know you know something new. Amen. 1 Peter, everybody there? Watch this. Chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, start verse 3. All honor to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now, we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Wow. Post-Calvary. Now our levels of what's going to happen has changed. How we go to church has changed. Why? Because Christ has rose. The post-Calvary church is an excited church. The funeral is over now. How many of you, and again, I don't mean to shake you up, but let's just be honest. How many of you would love, and I know this is much hypothetical, but how many of you know in your spirit that if somebody you buried on Friday got up on Sunday, wouldn't you be excited? I mean, come on, I'm serious, unless you owe them a lot of money or had something to do with why they got buried on Friday. But I mean, my point is, if my grandmother came back, I'd be excited. Now, she can't save me, but I'd be excited. If my father came back, I'd be excited. I buried my father on a Saturday, and I'd get up Sunday morning, he's sitting there with his hands out like this, first after the shock initially is over. And I look around and make sure anybody else there. But I mean, the post-Calvary church, our whole, everything we think is refreshed now, because every promise has been fulfilled. God kept his word to all of us. And he said, now, man, and as I said, you do not become greater by talking about what we're going to do 5 years from now. You become greater by doing something now that in 5 years we can look back and say, man, I knew it. We trusted God for the hard times. It's hard to start. But Peter said, listen, man, we got a different attitude about this now. And watch this. He says, and this is beautiful, for God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven For you, pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change and decay, and God in his mighty power will protect you until you receive this salvation because you are trusting him. And watch this. It will be revealed on the last day for everybody to see it. So be glad now because there's a wonderful joy up ahead. And he said, what? It's going to get tough. The church ain't no place for weak folk, especially when God will give you strength. He said, but you have to endure some stuff. You're going to have to. But every one of you are covered by the same policy. God's not going to protect Krista and leave Jasmine vulnerable. But Krista and Jasmine have to have the same spiritual philosophy, the same doctrine, the same dogma, the same desires, the same duty and commitment. Every Sergeant First Class in the United States Army is expected to conduct himself as a Sergeant First Class in the United States Army. Doesn't matter if he's in Korea or the Philippines or Georgia or Missouri. It doesn't matter. The expectation, the standards are established. And the same thing with Christians. Well, no matter where you go, you still ought to be a Christian. Because you understand. You've read the book. And when people look at us, what do they see? We have a right. We have a right and a privilege and an honor and a duty to present God in such a way that men will say unto us, who are you? How'd you get like that? God has called us something really wonderful. And every one of you in this body, every one of you in this body has been called to the same thing. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 3. My time is catching up with me. Again, you got to change. Remember, we're asking ourselves, and let me be honest with you. I said this a couple of weeks ago, and y'all laughed at me, but I was serious. It's depressing. It's hard for me to stand up here, and y'all don't pay me no attention. You know, with that blank look on y'all face. I'm trying to help us. And so all of us ought to be excited. Remember, the expectations have changed. Christ is the risen. Again, you think about it. If somebody you love made you a promise and kept it, wouldn't that inspire you? If someone you were hoping for good, a lot of our kids are graduating now, getting to the end of their road. You know, those parents, if you ever been to a high school graduation, they make this same announcement all the time. Parents, family, and friends, please refrain all of your cat calls and hollering so all the names can be heard. And all it takes, they on alphabet A. They just called Albert Anderson and his family went, woo! So when they got to Alvin Austin, they figured, well, if the Anderson holler, my baby gonna feel like ain't nobody here. And every family starts saying, well, my baby, and before you know, it's over. And all of us sitting there, all of us dignified, highfalutin can go, look at these fools. And when our child name comes, we be sitting there going, oh, Father. But you're excited, aren't you? There's an accomplishment there. That's how we ought to feel in the body of Christ. Our expectation levels have changed. We have done our assignment. When somebody comes down the aisle, hey, look what we did. Praise God, we got one. We didn't lose today. But if we're not doing anything, we're not going to get anything. You cannot expect to produce where you have not plowed. If all of us are plowing, there's probably going to be a great harvest. You can't expect only the pastor to be plowing. Pastor ain't growing the church. Pastor ain't. Ooh, I wish. No, we ain't growing the church. We ain't recruiting nobody. All of you have the ability to bring folk. God has gifted you. All right, listen to what Paul said. Remember now, you got to change. So let's go to the Philippian letter, chapter 3. Come on, everybody there? Okay. Verse 15. I hope all of you who are mature Christians will agree on these things. he's talking about? Church. Church growth. Changing our focus. Looking at what used to be and saying, man, that ain't important anymore. That's my friend. He's saying, you got to forget about what you want it to be. Some of you came in a little later, but I asked this group of believers to just remember what you wanted to be. And be honest enough to admit that you didn't sit with your friends around that milkshake stand down the street, the Tasty Freeze or the Dairy Queen, and said, when I grow up, I want to be a disciple. Be a truck driver, a nurse, a doctor. We always had high expectations. No, nobody sitting around and said, I just want to be a garbage man right on the back of that truck. But somebody got to pick up the garbage. And we need to be very mindful about demeaning what folk do in gainful employ. Somebody got to pick up the garbage. Somebody got to catch dogs. You know, all these stray dogs running around. Somebody said, well, ain't nobody picking up these dogs. There's a thing called a dog catcher. When you see the dog catcher, say, good job. Got bit last week. Where were you? Just like that old saying, where the police when you need them. You know. But the reality for us is simply this. We got to agree. Let me tell you what's wrong with our church. One thing that I would say pause, but I might as well let this out. We just don't agree with each other. One reason we don't agree is because we don't all talk the same language. We don't all want the same thing for the church. Some folks think they pay them too much. Some folks say they don't pay them enough. Them are the ones I want to talk to. Some folks say we come too early. Some folks say we stay too late. We just need to find Christ. Amen. You don't talk to your boss like that. You don't walk in your boss and say, you know, I just think we put too much stock on the shelf. You don't go to the superintendent, walk in his office and say, you know, I don't like the way the master's training plan is. We just do what we're told. Or we go work somewhere else. See how quiet everybody getting? Leadership is leadership. But I dare to challenge you, have I ever deviated from the book? We got this, it's right in front of us. He said this, I just hope we can agree on this. This is what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, let's just reason together. You can't reason with unreasonable people if unreasonable people won't reason. Now that sounds silly, but I'm serious. If you don't come and sit down and at least talk, and say, well, I've got some questions. No, don't come in being ballistic. Because you don't know everything. Amen. Much as I like flying, I have no capabilities of a pilot whatsoever. So it'd be stupid for me to kick in the door of a cockpit and go, I want to fly this thing. I didn't know I can. I've all, and I paid for my ticket. No, you paid to sit back there. Amen. Amen. They paid me to sit up here. See, y'all ain't.
That's right.
I'm serious. Let's read it. He said, I hope we can agree. Let's forget all things. He said, I know I'm a real somebody, but I had to set that aside and admit that I'm not there yet. Remember, let's just go back one more time and remember what you always want to be. And now that you're in the body of Christ, if you have signed on, if you have truly put your hand in the winding chain, you're going to have to let me help you. And you're going to have to admit you don't know what you're doing. And the only way you're going to ever get better, only way you're going to ever get greater is to train to be greater and do the commission. Look what he said. You got to be mature. You know how you become mature? You grow into it. Those of you who have children, have not your expectations changed. You don't expect the same thing from the little fella that you expect from that big fella. They mature. Now that you're old, you're a woman now. You don't expect you to act like a child. I mean, sometimes we get a little cute with it, you know, we want sympathy and all that kind of stuff. But we got to mature. In the body of Christ, you don't mature without being trained. You're not going to get this just because you sit around going, I'm a Christian. No, we got some work to do. And every one of us, again, we're trying to get discipleship competence. How many of you have ever met an incompetent person? They pretty much stand out, don't they? You're like, what is this fool doing? You do throw that fool in front of it. I said, this man, is he crazy? Excuse me. You know, when I worked for my grandfather, Brother Jesse, in the grocery store, one of the first things they teach you is how to bag groceries. You don't put eggs on the bottom. And you know, somebody goes, excuse me, honey, you don't put bread on the bottom. Oh, baby, you don't know how to bag groceries. Ain't no need to be getting all huffy. She's right, I don't. So you have to learn. And Granddaddy would give us training. He, when the store was quiet, he said, all right, come on, go around there and get me such and such and such and such. And I put it in the bag. And see what you're going to do. And you, they had a butcher shop. Taught us how to wrap meat. If any of you have been to a butcher shop, what really impresses you is when a butcher shows his skills. And it's how he handles the meat. And how he wraps. You know a good butcher when he can make that wrap and fold and put that little tape on there and write your little price on it. Back in the day, we had no stamp. We'd write how much it was. And a good tight wrap. Folks say, oh, that's pretty. The wrapping, they got impressed by the wrapping. You know why? Because how you wrap speaks to what you put inside. You always double wrap chicken because chicken leak. You don't wrap beef and pork together. See, you have a body here. God has put in you everything. You are thoroughly equipped unto every good work. And you shouldn't be sitting around still trying to be what you wanted to be. You should now be fully engaged in making good on the enhancements of discipleship life. Amen. Paul said, listen, that other stuff was really wonderful. Listen, I'm not telling you to be poor. I don't need you to be poor, then we'll have no tithers. I need you to be a manager. I need you to own a business. I need you to win the lottery. I was so mad when I saw that ticket was in California. I said, why ain't my church in California? If you ain't going to move the money to me, move me to the money. I know y'all playing. Bless you. Don't give up on the Mega Millions. Powerball gone now. Play cash for life. Y'all do something to bring some money in this church. We got to get to $500,000 before December. I'm serious. I told the leadership group right there, we $60,000 in the hole. Already. 6 months. That's how much our giving has fallen off in the last few years. Why is that? Same God, same people, same vineyard, same source. We just done gone crazy. So I'm telling you, be great. Work all them years, retire, put your money away. And when you die, when they read your policy, let's say, oh, to Greater Brookville, Lewis left $25,000. He's going to say, yay, Lewis. He can't hear us, but yay, Lewis. Go to Ashley Lake and say, thank y'all. Your daddy was a hero among us. Amen. Legacy. That's why I named one of those rooms the Jesse Davis room. I wanted Jesse's legacy to speak while he lived. Some of y'all don't even know it's there, but it is. And somebody got mad when I did it. How you gonna name somebody Jesse? He alive. I said, that's why. I didn't like, and I'm the pastor. I can like who I want to like. I can name what I want to name. And if you outdo Jesse, then I'll make it the Davis Price Room. That room might wind up about 9-8. But I love it. I said, this man has put his life into Greater Brookville Church. Somebody ought to know something about that. And the reality for us, my time is I'm almost there. My point I'm trying to make to you is you've got to realize now. We can't keep talking about next year. All we have is right here, right now. And to be greater takes a greater effort. If you want to be mediocre, it doesn't take much to be mediocre. You know, you do so many things automatic that you don't have to think about it. Your heart beats automatic. You breathe automatic. You see automatic. But if you want to do greater, you enhance that. Charles Barkley the other day said he's going to a fat farm. Charles said, I'm out of shape. He said, I got to get myself. He just wants to be great. I mean, Charles Barkley is Charles Barkley. He's getting paid, but he wants to be a better Charles Barkley. He admitted that he's got some issues. He said, I'm too fat. I weigh 370-something pounds. See, you got to look at yourself and say, wait a minute. I can be greater. See, the weight thing is a simple way to look at it. I'm just talking about discipleship. If you're not doing, and you don't have to turn back to it, Chris, but if you're not doing Matthew 28:19, if you're not really engaging, if you're not really interested, that's a problem there. If all of your life is just about what you can do for you, you're selfish. You're not a servant. You're not a soldier. You're not a subject. You're not going to ever be a spiritual warrior. All you're going to do is live and die. And you are. Some of y'all are living pretty darn good. That's wonderful. Bless you in that. But what's God getting out of you? Remember, let's go back and look at Mark. He says, you got to love the Lord your God. That ought to be evident. When I talk about couples, when you look at another couple, and, you know, look at the Anderson sitting close. Deacon Anderson got his arm around. You know, some men remember that. Well, there's a song harmony that says, this guy's got his gal and my arms are empty. I can't remember. It'll come to me. But, you know, he's looking around the room and my arms are empty. Yeah, no, now, you, the harmony is right there with Deacon Walker. But look where his arm is. See, he's waiting on her to fill that gap. Just waiting on, ain't you, Deacon Walker? He's been sitting there anticipating. Now, hold on. Let me say something. And I'm done. You just proved everything I have ever said, and I'm done. She heard me make a suggestion, and she followed it. She could have said that in the past, but it's that simple. When I teach you something, put it into action. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Is that easy? All she did was she was willing to leave where she was to go complete an action because her pastor made a suggestion. Did you lose anything? In fact, she gained. Now her left side is warm. And now Deacon Walker's thinking, boy, I can't wait. The church is over. We're thinking one more disciple in about 10 months. What I'm telling you is thank you. You blessed me. She got up immediately. She smiled when I said he smiled. And now two together. That's touching and agreeing. That as we show people our love, they'll know we love each other. As we show people we do ministry, they'll love our ministry. I'm telling you now, children of God, you have not been cheated by God. You're just cheating yourself. You're sitting right here with that faraway look in your eyes, and all you're doing is coming to church. You're not being the church. You're wasting a whole lot of good stuff. It's like people who buy a lot of groceries and then let it spoil. Cook too much food. Or buy stuff and never use it. You are equipped by God. God wants to use you. There is no way to talk about the future of this church and not face its realities now. No great thing ever happens just by dreaming. It's great to dream. What are you going to do with your dream? Because you know what's wonderful? You know, the thing about dreams is you have to wake up. How many of you ever had that dream and tried to press the continue button? It never works, does it? You dream something really wonderful. Somebody woke you up and you go, ooh, wait. I was almost rich. I saw where the X was. Can't go back. But God will give you another one, won't he? I've met a few people in my life that say they don't dream. I don't know if that's, I don't know. Maybe you just don't remember them. I think God has given everybody visions and dreams. That's kind of some of that God stuff. You know? What do you see your church being? Because can I tell you something? I'm really done. I'll stop. So we can get out of here at 12:15 or something. Let me tell you something. You can never be what you're not trying to be. Well, can I tell you something? This is my 20th year, and Sis Price and a couple of others have said, Pastor, we're going to make this a great celebration for you. I'm looking forward to it. Really am. I want to see. I want to know what 20 years of this means to you. I know what it means to me. My point is this. We are just not doing it. And we can't. We really can't. You have everything right in front of you. Forget about what's behind. It's gone. You will never be 25 again. No. Color as you may, trim as you may, that gray stuff is real. Take a leave, Motrin, Advil, Oxycontin, I don't care. It hurts. Because you're getting old. And you don't want to die. And all we can say about you is, she was a dreamer. God has gifted us. I sit down with some preachers and talk. And the truth of the matter is, all of us saying about the same thing. You know, we're not saying too much too different. The church just doesn't have the willing workers anymore. We can change that. Yes. We can change it. Again, I often use Deacon Walker because he owns a business. I think Harmony does most of the real management stuff. I'm not trying to pick on him. But I think, you know, but he's smart to let her do that. I mean, if you're good at it, go ahead. You know, because he has another job as well. And I'm not trying to put him out there. But the point of the matter is, sometimes you have to let people go. They don't understand the vision of our business. And sometimes maybe in Home Depot, we have to let people go. But you ought to be so glad that God put you in the church. Because we really don't want to let people go. We want to help others grow. I don't want to sound cliche-ish, but I'm just trying to tell you. This is the one place where trial and error bless each other. But I'm telling you now, changing churches is not your answer. It's not. It really is. You know what the real answer is? And I'll be done for real. You know what the real answer is? Change you. Change you. I'm serious. I don't mean any harm. Some of y'all, you know, I said this, and Deacon Walker brought up a good point. We started this lesson a year and a month ago. I went back in my notes. It was actually in May, the week after Mother's Day, after coming out of revival, that we started this, don't renege, don't retire, don't renege, you know, that. And I'm telling you, you got to fight through that. You know how many times I've gotten up and said to myself, I'm done. You know how many times my heart's been broken? And I said, I'm done. I told my wife, I said, listen, we got enough money. We can go home, sell this house, buy us a smaller house, and I'll just go to church and sit under somebody else. And she said the same thing to me every time, Harmony. Did God say that? And I look at her, oh! Spiritual woman. But she's right. I want to quit too. I get tired too. I hate it too. But did God say that? I owe him. But I ain't doing, you know, I'm not doing anything we can't do. Just like I said a few weeks ago, when Deacon Walker stepped up, it proved everything I always believed about you all. You all are a talented, gifted people. You just got to try yourself. You don't have to run to another ministry. You know, some people made that choice, and we mentioned that a little bit in the sermon today because we're going to talk about putting it into practice. That's the title for today, putting it into practice. But some people say, well, I'm going somewhere else. But I bet you this, and I got a little bit of money in my pocket, and I bet you this again. I bet you that if they didn't change them, they ain't changed nothing. Because it's not necessarily where you sit in the church. It's how you serve where you sit. Amen. I'm telling you now. Y'all look at me real quiet like. But I'm telling you the truth. You can do all of this. Ain't nothing up here that none of y'all can do. Nothing. You're not retarded. You don't know what you. Nothing. I'm serious. Change you. Think about it every day. When you get up in the morning, you don't have to remind yourself that you're a school administrator or you know, when you worked in the college or whatever. You don't have to keep saying, where I got to go? You know where you worked at. You know what you had to do when you got there. You're a factory worker. You don't get up in the morning and go, honey, where am I supposed to go?
supposed to go? You know, you do that, people are going to start thinking something wrong with you. They're going to get tired of you asking them that same thing. They mean, some of you are so automatic that you don't even realize. Y'all drive the same way to work. Some of y'all drive the same car. You eat the same Starbucks. You go to the same. And you did that because it became comfortable to you. Same thing in the body of Christ. You may not be able right now to do verse 19 as hard as we do verse 19. But I trust you in this. Make God a believer.
Yes.
You think, what is that? I'm just saying, what God has said about you is true. You are thoroughly equipped unto every good work. We will never be greater. 3 years from now, 5 years from now, you know, I plan on retiring, really. 10 years, y'all count me out. I'm be gone. So all y'all say, man, you're going to take us 10 years. You won't be with Leroy. I'm gone. I'm going to enjoy whatever. When I get to that number, I'm done. I'm still going to be a Christian. Go to somebody's church and preach every now and then, make a little of that revival money. But I won't be the pastor. Not 10 years from now. No, sir. Mm-mm. Nope. Lewis, how many years you work?
Too long.
Too long, see? That will not be my statement, Chris. I will not say I did this too long. I'm enjoying it. My grandchildren will be of a certain age. I plan to have a certain RV, and I'm going to enjoy it. But we can't talk about that. We got to talk about now. What are we doing to grow greater Brookville Church right now? Did we bring anybody with us today? Are we thinking about bringing somebody next Wednesday or next Thursday? That's the ministry. Look how quiet everybody getting there. Now everybody looking off, reading comic strips, downloading a new dress and all that kind of stuff. Trust me in this. Just like Sister Walker got up and walked from there to there because it sounded like a good idea. It would be comforting to her and he. That's how you got to. You got to say, well, what I need to move, what I need to change. Don't change where you are. Change who you are. And you'd be amazed at how much better you are as who you are. I'm not meaning to sound arrogant or conceited, but I'm pretty good at this. Because I changed me. I changed my soldier mentality. I changed my trooper mentality. When I left those things, I left those things. I enjoy them. I talk about them. You know, people remind me of them. But the fact of the matter is, my whole focus, and again, I've talked to Wanda about this. I've talked to Pat about it, Lewis about it. I think I mentioned a little bit up to Larry once, twice. This is all I do. You go in my office now, and Tamika will show you notes everywhere. I'm always scribbling something for us. Something for us. You know why? This is my calling and election, sure. I am no smarter than any of you can be. Again, Deacon Walker proved it. Lewis proves it. Pat proves it. Dr. Dixon proves it. If I'm not here, anybody can do this. Be honest with you. You don't have to do it like me because you're not me. You can't. You don't have the Leroy stuff. God gave me this stuff. This, you know, Pastor McLaughlin, y'all remember him? He did our revival. When I was at Mount Olivet as an associate minister, he sat me down on more than one occasion. He said, Doc, I wish I had some of that stuff you got. He said, man, you got a sense of humor. You know, you're tall. You know how to interact. He said, Doc, that's a gift, man. He said, use that. And I do. You know, when I was on the platform, they used to fuss at me sometimes about, you know, not sticking to the training plan. At the end of the day, we had a 98-point-something pass rate. Okay. You know, they tell you how to walk, you know, that crazy stuff. But bring you to it. Because you are different. God made you just for him, for us. Amen. Nobody in this room has been cheated by God. I heard a song on the radio. I'm going to talk to Harmony about it privately because I believe she can sing it. It's a toss-up between her and Elizabeth. So I'm going to pick which one. Oh, no, I'm serious. Y'all look at me. I'm in the pastor. I can do this kind of stuff. But I heard the song, and I'm trying to figure out who going to sing it like I need to hear it. It's one of them songs, you know, that you got to hear it like you need to hear it. I said, one of them. Not that you can't sing, not that you don't sing, not that. But when I heard that song, I said, this is an Elizabeth or Harmony song. And So I'm going to sit him down. I'm seriously. And I said, I got to get Stacy and make sure he play it right. See, y'all laughing, but this is what we need to face. I told y'all last week, we got to start being honest with each other. Jennifer said something to me the other Sunday. Now, I'm going to tell on you. And you know, Stacy wasn't here. Audrey was playing. And you know, and the choir was struggling a little bit. So I said, to keep my choir from struggling any further, we're going to stop singing. See, I know how to take care of y'all. I know they weren't comfortable. I'm not going to make them stand there and keep being uncomfortable. I said, y'all go ahead and sit down. We're going to move right into preaching. And some of y'all got excited. I said, oh, that means we get to leave early. Fine, if that's what you need. But my point is this. I know how to take care of y'all. And I have a pastoral obligation to bandage up the wounds and to not let us go in further. So Jennifer said, don't be trying to expose us. How's it going, Jennifer? But the reality is this. You all are gifted and talented people. You're just not all the same. You don't all have the same gifts. I'm not going to ask Eric to come up here and teach a class now. I'm not going to ask Eric to do certain things that I can ask James to do or ask Chris to do. But trust me in this. I know all y'all can do greater. You just got to want to. Stop looking for a place to hide and find that spotlight. Get your moment. God has given you something unique to you for him, for us. Amen. And I trust God more than I trust any of y'all. I pray for y'all. I really do, sincerely. And I have heard God say, push. Push him. Some of y'all don't like being pushed. I understand that. I didn't either. I told y'all about when I'm, you know, PT time, when and I'm sure these guys know it. I'm sure Deacon Anderson has drill instructor. No. When other guys are on the platform pushing, you don't like being pushed. But when you up there pushing, you like pushing. And other guys look at each other, you know. But at the end of the day, we all got better. And so he said, let me give you one more, and then I'll let y'all go for real. I know my time is over, and we're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. I know y'all got a problem with that. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 9. Chapter 9, Romans 9. Just a note I want to make here. Somebody dropped something. It's rolling. Everybody there? All right, come down to verse 15. And this is really, I just want to give you a covering verse. And this is what it says. For God said to Moses, I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. It's just a cover verse. That's how much God loves you. There's a scenario going on there. I don't want to get too deep into it. But I'm just telling you, that's how God feels about all of y'all. He'll show mercy when he want to. He'll show compassion when he want to. But all of you are going to get that. Amen. To anyone. And all you have to be is faithful. Just keep trusting God. And every day of your life, remember God first. You will never lose anything keeping God first. I promise you. I've done it myself. You'll never lose anything keeping God first. Now, it's a good morning. It's not automatic. It really isn't. Remember, again, because some of y'all came in late, I'm going to say it again. Just go back and remember what you wanted to be. You didn't want to be a disciple. You didn't want to be a deacon, really, so to speak. You didn't say you want to be a Christian. You want to be a this, that, and the other. Now you got to change you. You've got to say, wait a minute, God. I had that wrong. I was supposed to seek first the kingdom of God. And I'm not blaming your mama, your grandma, and them. I'm just telling you the truth. Somebody trained you wrong. They should have told you, seek ye first the kingdom. Maybe they didn't know to tell you. But I'm here to tell you. Change you. Remember, we're trying to help a people that are hopelessly separated from God by helping ourselves by admitting we were once that people. We were once that people. Romans 5, we were once that people. And so if the world looks at you now, your initial testimony is, I was talk about in economic circles that most of us are one or two paychecks from being back in poverty. I read an article the other day. I like reading money articles. And it said that the average person in the United States of America has $4,482 in their bank account. Now, based on that side just heard in this room, y'all are not average. Some of y'all saying, $4,000? Remember, I had $4,000. I got you, but that's information. The average American has $4,487. Now, the point I'm making is simply this. God is no respect to a person. But who wants to be average, really? Some of us sitting there thinking, $4,000. Now, some of us, you know, who got more than that saying, man, if I had $4,000, I think I was broke. It just depends on where you've grown to. Amen. And what I'm telling you is never, ever, ever rob yourself of the riches that are yours in Christ Jesus. Because if you keep God first, God will blow your mind every time. You will wake up every day going, man, God is tripping. This is crazy. I do. I sit out in my backyard sometimes, just look up toward heaven. Full moon last night. I sit outside. I got tired. My eyes wasn't finished with my notes. I went and sit outside and looked at the full moon and said, God, you're amazing. And I'm watching the moon slowly drift. I'm saying, how can they say there is no God? I'm hearing crickets and bears and stuff and noises. And, oh, yeah, there's a lot of bears in there. I was coming home the other night when Deacon Davis always told me to watch out for deers. I got just about to the house and a bear ran across in front of me. I got a video camera in my car and I showed it to Ms. Mitchell. She's like, oh my God, I hope it ain't dead when I leave. I'm saying, honey, he's not standing on the side of the road playing chicken with cars. He ran, I saw him and I said, oh, a bear. You can hear it on the video. I said, oh, a bear. Well, I said a little more than a bear. But, you know. But my point is, you know, you have a God who is doing stuff, man. And I'm saying, who would want to be a part of this? And I start thinking about church and growth and thinking to myself, how crazy must one be to say there is no God? And here's what the scripture came to my mind. A fool in his heart has said, don't be no fool. You have a God who will equip you. You have an inheritance. You've been adopted. Behold, we are now the children of God. You can do this. We can change this church today. We don't need another planning meeting. We can change this church right now by changing the way we think. Because when we change the way we think, we will in fact change the way we live. Now, if you like living like you're living and you want to be average or below average, I really need to talk to you. Because you don't need to be average. You don't need to dwell in mediocrity. You don't have to live with melancholy. You're an awesome people. This future generation is looking at us right now. These young ladies and this young man are deciding whether they're going to stay in the body of Christ based on what they see right now. We did it. When we were growing up, how many of us remember saying, man, when I get old, I ain't going to church no more. Them old people, I'm tired of being. And we didn't realize that we would become them old people. D-E-M, old people. Them old people. And what we didn't do was do something different. If we didn't want to be like them other old people, we should have been a different version of young people. Because we're going to give it over to somebody. I was watching the video on Facebook when baptizing old Jordan. And I was looking and I thought to myself, that could be my next preacher. I could have baptized my replacement. I was just looking, I said, man, and I thought about that. See, that's the way I think. I'm thinking, there's got to be somebody. Somebody. Why not you? You're not too old. You're not too young. You know, if that boy came to me and said, Pastor, I want to be a preacher, I would start training him with everything I got right now. Because that's what they did for me. They didn't say, yo, you're too young, young Mitchell. My pastor looked at me and said, well, son, come see me on Saturday morning. I didn't have no call. So I I'd go to my mom and say, Mama, Pastor told me to come see him. What you done now? You know, my mom always was suspicious. I had done some penal thing. I said, I told him I want to be a preacher. And her whole disposition changed. She never treated me the same. And I'm telling you now, your children, your wife, your husband, they'll help you if you help yourself. We can make this place uncomfortable. That we have to grow and go and do more. And we should not sit around waiting for the funeral of our church. We shouldn't wait for the autopsy to reveal that we could have done simple things. How many of you saw on the news the other day the young fellow, the fireman, 28 years old, had a stroke? I said to my wife, oh God. Nobody at 28 is supposed to have a stroke. I'm not, you know, I don't know his medical. But I told my wife, you know, we were talking about it. I said, something had to be happening. Because, you know, they say there are signs, there are things you look for. You know, eating, diet, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you can be healthy and die, but not of a stroke. Strokes only happen when there are certain other things, where my medical people at, that have come into play. A stroke is not normal. You can die by getting hit by a car and be 28. You can get electrocuted at 20, but not stroke. So there are things that we have to look at ourselves and say, are we healthy? Are we maintaining? Are we doing what's necessary that we don't die prematurely? We are in a bad place, church. Our last checkup didn't go well. So we had to do something. Now. I know I've taken up way too much of y'all time. Y'all think y'all said, he said we're going to be out at 12, 15. Watch me. I got it. Y'all know y'all love me for that. Y'all just say, that one. Watch me. Father, I thank you so much for these, and I thank you for those who listen to us through our outreach ministry, our media resources. I pray, God, that they have taken a note or two. Pray, God, that they will go back and refresh the learning. Lord, I am serious, and I hope they know, too, you're serious. We can do this. There is nothing impossible to them that believe. And, God, I pray these are your believers. Thank you, Lord, for all of these, and pray, God, yet for the others. Forgive us of our sins and have mercy. In Jesus' name. And redeemed of the Lord said, amen.